WOLB. Take yourself
Good afternoon, Baltimore. This is the Faith, Freedom, and Justice Report. My name is Harold Dobson. I'm sitting in this afternoon, and we're waiting our co-host, Reverend Daki Napata, who will be joining us shortly. We've been away from you for the past couple of weeks. We're glad to be back on the air and talking with you. You can call us if you have something to talk about at 410-481-1010. Again, that number is 410-481-1010. And we're going to have an open show pretty much today just to kind of get back into the flow of things. So we're waiting to hear from you. You can also catch us live on the internet at WOLBBaltimore.com. So, again, welcome. And we're looking forward to talking with Baltimore. See what you have to say about the summer so far. We're halfway through it. It's been very cool, I guess. It's not a typical Baltimore summer. It's not that kind of, it must not be a lot of folk out there eating crabs and whatnot. And I guess that's why we're not getting the usual steamy kind of summer thing that goes on. We also have a special guest for you this afternoon. And he's just arrived and he's on his way in. So we're looking forward to all of the things that you will bring to us, or we'll bring to you. Brother Travis, how you doing? Okay. Sit on down. You know the hookup, right? This is Sister Denise. Let's see. What mic is that? Mic 5? I think that's mic 5. So... And now joining us, the world famous entrepreneur. Let's see, how else could we describe him? He's been a fixture here in Baltimore for years and years, although he's not that old. Brother Travis Winky.
Yeah.
And glad to have you here. That you don't realize who you're sitting across from, but. My mother was a famous fan of yours.
No kidding.
Yeah. that was Mildred Dobson.
Mildred Dobson.
Yeah, she was a hairdresser.
Oh, so.
And
I know. I got to see faces.
You got to see places. Yeah. And I'll show it to you later on. But tell us something. I understand we got something coming up here in Baltimore. Again, one of the promotions that you...
I'm doing a couple of promotions. I'm doing one, I'm doing some work with Beverly Johnson. You know, Beverly Johnson is the first black model to make Vogue magazine. And she's done over, they say, 500,000 covers of magazines around the world. And Beverly, I've been friends for a long time, but just got pretty tight after doing a couple of events here for me about a year and a half ago. And so between here and Atlanta, Georgia, I was doing some projects for her. She's doing a series of model competitions. And I was heading one up, and she's sending the winners to Paris.
Mm.
So, and then we were doing the contest, but we didn't want to give all the prizes to the winners, because every time you get a contest of some kind, everything going to do it. Well, we're going to give some of the prizes to, you know, the first runner-ups. Okay. Then some of the people who wasn't even in the run-ups. You know
spread,
what I mean?
Spreading the wealth.
We're going to spread it around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what we do when we come from a dominant area. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. So, we understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody, if everybody doesn't participate, you know, it's no fun.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's going to be at the Doubletree Hotel in Pikesville.
Okay.
And that's going to be on October the 11th.
Okay, so that's a little bit, but you can mark your calendars. October 11th is a...
October the 11th.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, it's on a Saturday.
Saturday.
It's on a Saturday. And prior, about a week before, about 2 weeks before the fair, I'm going to get some discount tickets out to some folks. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, at the door, so they can come at the door for a discount.
Right.
But that's one affair. The biggest affair that we do in Baltimore is the world-famous Luxor Market Fashion Show.
Okay.
And we've been doing it now, I guess, for about 13, 14 years.
14 years, okay.
And it's going to be at the Luxor Market. And you know that that's downstairs where they eat at?
Right, with the whole little platform.
Yeah, they stand, up and eat.
Right.
Well, what we take that whole area and turn it into a runway. Turn it into a 90-foot runway. And when we first started doing it, they didn't think it was going to work. A very high fashion show down there. But it seemed to work out after that first year. People started asking about it, and now it's like every year it's about. And it's doing really well. And we have people to come down to Luxor Market who have never been there. We got the crowd that's always usually there. And it usually gets around close to 15 or 2,000 people down there each year for this now. So that's going to be on December the 13th. And that's our annual show down there. And we have some special guests coming in. I bring in the designers from outside of our area, like around the country, as well as designers and store owners and boutique owners here in Baltimore to push what Baltimore is doing and let people know what the Lexington Market is doing. You know what I mean? Because they give a series of things all year long. I mean, it's really fantastic what they do for the community. And so our show is one of the things they bring in each year to appetite our people to come down to the Lexington Market and get some great food. Like, you know, I go down and get all my little fruits and vegetables, you know what I mean? So we want people to come down there. Yeah.
That's one of Baltimore's jewels. And
folks don't realize,
a lot of folks don't realize it, but, you know, they get afraid of downtown. But come on down and enjoy yourself and see some things that you're not likely to see anywhere else.
That's right. That's right. That's the Lexington Market. You know? So we've been down there for years, and I enjoy myself. So those are two events that we have coming up, which is the Lexington Market Fashion Show and the Adam Competition Award Show going to be in Pikesville. So, but that's just one of some of the things that we're doing in the city. Always trying to do something. I'm working on some very large events that hopefully I can make an announcement about those in about a couple of months. But we're trying to do something really big in the city for our youth.
Well, you know, the mic is always open to you because we know that you're always doing positive things, exposing folk to new horizons, things that they don't normally think about or think that is beyond their grasp. Mm-hmm. But you show them that just by being persistent consistent, that you can make things happen. And that's a fantastic arrangement for folks.
I'm one of those guys, man, say, God knows, if Travis Winkie can do it, anybody can do it.
Mm.
I'm from the hood, you know what I mean? My mother and father, 15 of us in my family, 7 brothers and 7 sisters. Never had a whole lot, but we never felt poor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I was brought up around this Mondawmin area and hanging out on the Lower Avenue and going to O'Dell's and all the places all my life.
So
I know the trials and the tribulations that some of our people go through. And I think one of the ways, and I've always believed this, is to get tell people we got to get to the young people. You know what I mean? Because they grow up in an atmosphere now sometimes where it's acceptable to just go to jail or they feel they can't get through there if something may happen bad to them.
And expectations.
Well, yeah, expectations. So I'm one believes that we have to prove by example. And I think every day we see a little kid, because every kid is our kid. Tell a little kid that you love them. Tell a little kid they're a great little kid. Because if they hear that enough, they'll believe it. And we have to consistently do that with our young people. And get more programs for our people. That's that phone ringing, and I don't know how to work it. I just got it today, so I'm going to just let it
be. No problem. I don't even know if folk are hearing it in the background, but if they are, then they should take it as an opportunity to call in and talk to Travis Winkie.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got you know, some questions. I mean, some answers to some questions in terms of folk who might want to get into the whole modeling or fashion game. I mean, that's something that is an area of expertise for him. He's been doing that for years. Yeah,
40 years now.
Yeah, 40 years. Okay.
And not just the fashion and the dance and that kind of thing, but how we can improve our lives. I believe in entrepreneurship.
Right.
I work for myself all my life. I've never done anything else but what I do now is work in fashion. That's all I've ever done. And, you know, I'm not a real educated person. You know what I mean? I came out of Douglas High School, did not go to college or anything like that. But I found a way, found my niche. And that niche is something that you find that you love doing. If you got something that you love doing in life, that you truly dedicated, no matter what, you know, anytime somebody can make a business out of selling rocks, then we can make a business out of anything. And especially black folks, we're so creative. So I'm a true believer in entrepreneurship and believe that at a young age, we need to find something that we love doing, that we enjoy doing. And at some point in our lives, we can make that something a business. It may start out working, doing something for somebody else. You know what I mean? To help us on when we, you know, to make a little money or whatever. But I think at some point, you know, black folks, we got to have some kind of trade. I believe in that.
Right.
And maybe it's because that's what I did all my life. But I think that we need to, of course, education is first. Education. The more our kids we can get into college, the better. You know what I mean? But everybody's not going to go to college. People like me not going to go to college. But we need to find something in some way to help to improve ourselves and our lives and the people around us. And when you find something that you love doing, if that something can help you and can help other folks at the same time, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. So I'm a real strong believer in entrepreneurship. Of course, what I do is fashion. But fashion branches out everywhere. It's like a lifestyle.
Drawn to fashion?
Well, to tell you the truth, I did my first fashion show when I was 10 years old in my backyard.
Okay.
You know, I lived in 2500 block of McCullough Street.
Okay.
And I used to make the between my yard and the back alley became my runway.
Okay.
You know, and I love looking at those old pictures with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and that old movie, the whole glamour stuff on television. And loving that kind of stuff, I followed it all my life and wanted to be there. I say, one of these days, I'm going to be there. And I would get the kids in the neighborhood. We all get together. We all knew each other, get together. And I'll get them to get something from their wardrobe in the house or grab their father's old shirt or their mother's old dress or something, and we can put together a fashion show. I mean, it's like the Little Rascals, truly like the Little Rascals.
Okay.
And we did a fashion show in our backyard. And believe it or not, we made money because my buddy Alvin Parson, who's one of my best friends in life, he died about 3 years ago. And I love that brother, and every day I think about him. But he used to be the guy to run around with the hat.
Well.
You know what I mean? And he also did the music back there in those days. And people put a little money in. But people be sitting on top of trash cans, on the fire escapes, up in their windows, all out in the backyards. You know what I mean? And we did our little fashion show. And that's how I really started. And then coming out of Douglas High School, I stuck with dance. Because I was with the Maryland Ballet Company for a while, and I was at the Baltimore School of the Ballet, and I got all these scholarships. I was with Peabody Conservatory Institute for a while, and I got all these scholarships because I was a good street dancer.
Mm.
You know, they all come from the streets.
Say a little bit more about the streets, and then let me apologize for just jumping in here.
My brother,
Brother Harold has done, Reverend Harold Dobson has done such a magnificent job, and we're more than honored to have an international treasure here in our studio. Matter of fact, we have several. We have the great Tina Kamara in our studio today. And you talking about somebody can sing. Tina is from D.C., living in Baltimore. And is getting ready to drop a hot CD that's off the chain. We also got this pretty Denise lady in here from the islands. Boy, what girl? So what I just wanted to say, and I apologize for being late. I'm just coming from the homegoing service of the great Anna L. Stevens, Haley. And she was one of the matriarchs in our community out in Cherry Hill. And you'd have thought all of the United States of America was there. And her children will be calling in as we lift this great matriarch, born June the 4th, 1926, and transitioned to the angels April the 10th, 2014. Cherry Hill in the house, First Baptist Church, was on fire. And so what I just wanted to say was we lift her up as she joined the angels, not to leave us, but to intervene on our behalf, as the riches always do. But what I wanted to say is Travis and I go back to be boyhood friends.
Yeah.
We like to say we were in hard white shoes together.
All right.
And what Travis would not say is so humble is people used to come from all over the United States to watch Travis dance in the wreck of McCullough Homes, the second oldest yeah. housing project in America. The same thing was of Brother Cocky, Robert Cocky McQueen, the great artist, who lived on Oxford Street. I lived on Preston Street, 502 mm-hmm. West Preston. And quiet as a kid, the kid can dance too. But this national, international treasure that's among us, we're so happy to have him here as we move towards the things that he's doing. And he's doing a range of things. He was out there with Arnold Mitchell, yeah. The great martial artist, scientist, who went over to Japan and Korea and shut it down in 3 minutes, 2 minutes, world champion. And as we remember him, we obviously remember Al Parson, his brother yeah. Travis had said, yeah. who also was a great master, many of them having studied and trained under the great Raleigh Hawkins of
That's
the Avengers,
right. That's right.
Who's still alive and kicking. His sister Betty just got a grand mastership that she didn't want to touch for years. And we know Michael Hawkins and Glenn Hawkins and that whole crowd that took bad boys and good boys and girls. And Sheila Dixon also was in that crowd. And made them better than they imagined they could be with the discipline and the light. And so I like to just say, Travis, welcome. I know Brother Hurl has welcomed you even greater than I could have. And as we talk and we move forward, we're going to have a callers calling in from D.C. and the light. And we're going to have people who are in the studio here just share what they share. Because this is the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey's weekend. We know that's his birthday. One God, one aim, one destiny. And he said, look for me in the whirlwind. And he came to this country in 1916 and hoping to meet Dr. Booker T. Washington. But Dr. Washington transcended and went to the angels in 1915. And the rest is history. He raised the question, where is the black man's government? Where is the black man's Navy, black man and woman's Navy? Where are the great men and women of great affairs? And they sit right among us. And so as he attempted to lift those types of themes and had the most well-organized, largest African organization in the world, you know, in the islands, on the continent of Africa, you know, in Brazil, you name it, in the South, in the North, and that he had people like Reverend Earl Little, who is Minister Malcolm Little's, Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Omawali's son who has come home. He is his father, along with Mother Louise Little, who was from Grenada, and came out of the Maroon Societies, those who ran away. So I could go on and on and on, as you know, but this is his weekend. And as we remember him and Mother Amy Jacques Garvey and Mother Amy Ashford Garvey, who also went to Ghana and became a queen mother, you know, and their Baltimore connection. So welcome, 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 welcome. Apologize for being late, but I will never apologize for being at Miss Anna's homegoing and the repast down in Cherry Hill because she served so many so well. So, Brother Harold, you and Travis was talking about this dancing. And Travis and Arnold were also part of this anti-bullying.
Yeah.
As we remember what's going on in St. Louis, and that's not in isolation, obviously. That's part of a network of tyranny, I should say. Black man walking, black man breathing. And which one of us have not been a part of that or have been a black woman unfairly targeted? And because of who you are, whose you are, and who people don't want you to be. So let me stop there. This is 10:10 a.m. This is Freedom Fighters Report. And we're so honored to be here with you, with Tina Kamara and Sister Denise.
Hey.
Reverend Harold Dobson Jr. And the great, the one, the only, the best who ever did it, Travis Winkie. Please call in 481-1010. 481-1010. please call in. We're looking forward to hearing from you. And thank you, Black Light, for getting me here from nowhere to somewhere. Brother Travis, you were saying about this dance and this ballet. You telling me stuff I never heard about.
Yeah. I got a couple of scholarships because of street dancing to some proper schools. I was at Peabody for about 3 years and studying the Martha Graham theory of dance. And I was with the Baltimore School of Ballet for a good while, and with the Baltimore School of Ballet, School of Ballet. And did a lot of that. But most of, even with the ballet companies, I was doing modern, doing mostly modern dance. And so between dance and fashion is all I've done in the 40 years that I've been really out there doing things.
Dance, fashion, fighting. People don't know Travis is a well-trained martial artist. And if you don't know, you better ask somebody and ask somebody who know. And I know because there have been more than one occasion when people have tempted this quiet, humble little man. And they was getting ready to get their head handed to him. And I said, Travis, have Travis. I got it, Travis. Go handle the fashion show, I handle it. You know, it would have been an ugly affair to see this mighty David knock down a big Goliath when he or she didn't know it was coming.
But now I'm a days, I don't want to do no fighting.
We have Mama Ayo on the line calling in from D.C. She's one of the executive producers, Mama Ayo Moore. And she's calling in, giving a magnificent report. And she would not only be a guest caller, she'll be co-hosting, so her line will be open. And then we're going to go to the great Len Bowen out of Cherry Hill.
Oh, Len.
And we have Brother Covington, which I'm asking him to just hold on for a minute. We will get to you, brother, I promise you. Mama Ayo, Brother Harold, can you handle that? Speak up, Mama Ayo. You went around there. You had them bad baby kids down there.
Yes.
And all week long in the camp. Say something. What's going on?
But no, we want to give thanks for the blessings and the prayers that there was no major violence in our rally we had here in D.C. and all the many rallies held across the nation to honor Michael Brown, the latest victim of this terrible police brutality.
And where was that? I hear it was at Howard University. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, students from Howard and American University, Catholic, many universities came together, GW, Trinity, and they marched from Malcolm X Park all the way down 14th Street Northwest, 16th Street, and through U Street, and all the way down the busy U Street corridor, and then down the 9th Street, the 7th Street corner, yeah, right, passing close to the Howard University, passing Howard Theater and the Howard University
community
opening center. Yeah. But it was a nice gathering of young people, many under 30. And UB, United Black Front, presented some suggestions and solutions and invited everyone to come out this coming Tuesday to the Emergency Center or Georgia Avenue at Euclid, right across from Banneker Senior High School, for further strategy, planning, and execution. And with that said, I want to remind you of the great dancers that are performing tomorrow night at UDC's Theater of the Arts. Farafina Khan presents Birthright. This is their 10th anniversary celebration, and you do not want to miss them. They are awesome. And there will be a 5:30 p.m. VIP reception at the university, which is up on Connecticut Avenue, 4200 Connecticut Avenue Northwest. That's 20008. And that same night, which is Saturday night, there will be the National Poetry Tribute to Gil Scott-Heron.
To who? To who? Don't rush over that. Tina's going to follow you. Your late professor, the great Gil Scott-Heron, one of the best who ever did it.
Yes. I took creative writing from him when I was pregnant with my son, Babatunde.
Now I understand his rhythm.
But that's a show you don't want to miss, but they do happen at the same time as Farafina Khan up at UDC. But, you know, one is free, and the other one you got to pay a fee. So, you know, you got to pay the fee to get in to see Farafina Khan. They're awesome.
And Farafina, we can pause for Mama Ayo. And if Farafina, and this is jazz improvisation thing we're doing here, Farafina has one of the master drummers on the planet. As Brother Menez from Baltimore, you know, whose daddy grew up in McCullough home was Ben Yamin, you know, Ben Madden, right? Yeah. Travis knows him.
Yeah.
Who also is one of the Park Vibe drummers. And Brother Menez played with Sankofa here in Baltimore for many years, and now he's doing his thing, even as he complements the tradition that they've set up. And his father set up even before that as one of the Park Vibe drummers that are still ongoing every Sunday in Drew Hill Park.
All right.
And Mama Aya, we have Mama Tina Kamara in the studio, your homegirl from D.C. And when we go to break, we're going to drop her CD, y'all. Her CD.
Yes.
Say something, Tina. Oh, say something about this D.C. girl, this D.C. women thing, y'all. I mean, y'all
What do you want to know?
I want to know, first of all, both of y'all creative geniuses, just like Travis and Sister Denise here, the crochet lady.
What do you want to know?
Well, talk to us. Y'all just go ahead and talk. You two sisters.
I saw Tina would be performing tonight up at the Neo Soul at the Carla Burns.
Ayo, introduce Tina.
No, I didn't know anything about that.
Ayo, introduce Tina.
Well, Tina Kamara has one of the most beautiful voices you ever want to hear. Like
oh, thank you so much.
And I've heard her sing in many different occasions. And she has a wonderful stage presence. Sal, you should be on Broadway.
I know. You know, that was always one of my dreams, Ayo, to do theater. You know, I don't pride myself in being an actor, but mm-hmm. I act when I sing. You know, I dig deep and reach for the emotion of the lyric, and that in itself is a form of acting. I always envisioned myself on stage doing music, and you know, as long as I'm breathing breath, that's still an option.
All right.
And both of y'all love the great Nina Simone. Yeah, say something about Sister Nina Simone.
Pardon me. You got your cast.
I'm gonna ask Mama Tina to say something.
He's a dancer, and he knows his choreography.
Travis, Ayo, we're gonna say something about the great Mama Nina Simone, and also the great Billie Holiday, Lady Day, who was born in Philadelphia, and she moved here to Baltimore. She was Eleanor Harris, not Fagan, as the book or the movie says, and she moved here when she was very young. And the great James Earl Reed, who Brother Harold is very close to, as I am, and I'm Mama Ayo, we're going to be celebrating her 100th anniversary of her birth. She was born April the 7th, 1915, and next year will be the 100th anniversary of her birth. And we did something that people around the world didn't think we were going to do, but we swooped them. We launched on April the 7th this year, 2014, the pre-Billie Holiday Centennial Movement. That means everything got to come to Baltimore, Lafayette, and Pennsylvania Avenue in the hood. Mm-hmm. All right. So say something about this great Nina Simone's impact.
You can also come and hear a young sister whom I walked with yesterday during the rally for Michael Brown. I walked next to, I found myself right next to Akua Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
She sings Nina Simone and Mary Makeba very, very well. And she will be performing, I think, at the Bohemian Caverns next weekend. I think it's the 23rd. But you can always go to, you know, look her up.
Okay. All right, we're going to let you repeat that on the other side of music. Now, Tina, we have your music, your new CD you can already drop. Tina, present this real quick as we go to break. What is this about, baby?
This song is about rising up to the occasion of all that is possible and really moving forward and stepping up and being present for our community.
Come with it, Tina Kamara in Baltimore.
Hey, hey, to every city all over the world, from Brooklyn to Bangkok, to every ghetto and every hood, get it down and put down. We gon' rise up to every note sign. We gon' rise up to every side. We gon' rise up to every sun. We gon' rise up to every outside. We gon' rise up. Hey, hey, we gon' rise up. Hey, hey, we gon' rise up. Hey, hey, we gon' rise up. Hey,
let's get it on, children.
We believe awaiting an opportunity.
That's Sister Tina Kamara, and we're going over top of. Sister Tina, can you give us a little bit of background about what you were thinking of in that? I mean, it seems kind of obvious, but...
You know, this is what's mystic. You know, when a producer presents a track to me, I'll listen to it and feel it, right? Mm-hmm. And many times, the song writes itself. So it's like it downloads from the universe into my heart, and then I just put it on paper. It's really interesting. It's like each track dictates what the message is going to be. So I didn't choose that. Like when I write here in this dimension, right. I write the hook first.
Okay.
And I heard I say, rise up. Yeah, we gonna rise up, you know. And I started thinking about in that moment the civil rights movement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And no, actually I went all the way back to slavery on up and through the civil rights movement and where we are today. And I mean, it just came through me that in this age of information where we have everything at our fingertips, we're still sort of don't know. That's not everybody. This is a generalized statement here. Don't really know who we are and where we've come from. So the lyric is mystic soul children, because we all are spiritualists and mystics. That's our birth, right? It's a given. Daughters of the earth. Women are the earth. Women are the church. Women are the temple. Your crown awaits you. Maya Angelou says, do what you need to do. Your crown has been bought and paid for. You know, the wonders of rebirth. You know, we continually reinvent ourselves. Embrace your beauty. We are beautiful people.
Well.
You know. what's the next lyric? Embrace your beauty. Your something is divine. You are ancient. You are sacred. You are royalty. Know it. Just know it all the time in the midst of all the crap, all the drama, all of everything that goes on around us, surrounding us. If we could just remember that and realize that at all times, then we all will walk in our greatness and realize our dreams.
Okay. And Mama Tina is a certified reincarnated Buddhist. If she ain't sitting here looking like Buddha's baby mama, my God. I mean, this is a sister who's been there, done that, been through it, drug other people through it.
Yes,
so
she's
giving a personal testimony of having Still I Rise. And having said that, she is a Buddhist, and we know Buddha was a black man, an African man with pink hair. Mm-hmm. You know, and she preaches that, she teaches that. And if you're interested, I'm sure she'll drop some information on how you can reach her. She's authentically black now. I mean, and being the Buddha light, the enlightenment is that. Is all of that, none of that, and some more of that. Mm-hmm. So, Tina, we got some people on hold. Earl, can you take care of that, please?
I think we got on line 3, Sister Lynn Bowen.
The great Lynn Bowen. Lynn Bowen from Cherry Hill. Lynn Bowen went down to Haiti almost by herself, her and her son. And just representing. Lynn Bowen's my homegirl from Cherry Hill. She serves the state so well, serving so many people. And I know she would be so humbled by me saying this. She is one of the baddest servants on the planet. Lynn Bowen. Cherry Hill from Philly.
Thank you so very much for that. That's very nice of you. And thank you for mentioning my son, Chris Bowen. This
already.
Is his birthday weekend.
Hey.
Yep, he's traveling. He did a cross-country drive. He's over the West Coast now, celebrating his birthday. I was just thinking about that.
Say a little bit more about him, Lynn, and your daughter, too.
Well, I'll just mention him very shortly. I was just thinking about his birth, and it was 1975, and I had to bring him into the world. And now he's mastering the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's all right now.
All right.
Traveling to the West Coast to enjoy himself. And he's a very gifted young man. Travis mentioned entrepreneurship, and he believes that every fiber of his bone. And he has his own business, engineering, came out of Naval Academy, and now has birthed his own engineering company in India. He did bringing it on down at the World Trade Center. We had an opening down there about 2 years ago. So, yeah. But I wanted to first say hello to Travis.
Hi, baby. How you doing?
Travis is one of the patron saints of DHR.
Well, hallelujah.
Travis has been good to us there at our agency as we try to serve the public. He serves us, and he does it so very well. He did a unique thing several years ago. One of our Bring Our Children to Work Day, Travis produced a fashion show
for
children and their parents.
It was great.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal. Never been did that since then. Did the runway, did everything, and it was super spectacular. But that's how Travis does things. And when I was at the last fashion show that you produced, I told it was like I was transported to Paris.
But you know, the lies because Len, let me tell you one thing about Len. I've been wanting Linda to model for ages. She will not model.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Drop dead gorgeous.
And will not model.
And look. And
she'll put everything together.
And,
look,
and let me tell you something.
Model.
You and Travis, just like you can fight.
I love
Lynn can fight. Good God from Zion.
No, she's too pretty to fight.
Oh, she can fight. That's my homegirl from Cherry Hill. Hey, Lynn, say something about the great Ray Haysbert, please.
Yes.
But Travis, we'll never forget what you did for us. And Ray was also
thanks,
a great
baby.
State of DHR. Because when anything would happen there, when we had any type of event, he was always gracious enough to come, and he'd be the host, or he was the one that led things off. And the people, particularly the women, white and black, adored him because he's such a gentleman. And so, yeah, he did a great thing for our agency, too. But I was and I won't be very long, this sister, with that song.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
That it is downloaded, and that's just exactly what the universe does. At the appointed time, at the appointed need, it will be downloaded. And I'm glad you are the receptor.
Oh, thank you. So am I. So am I.
Listening to that, I envision and I just saw that as the next national anthem, as the next movement song, because it's more right now. What you singing that song is happening right now with Ferguson.
Yes.
This country, and that we need to rise up. It is our time, and we have to rise up. And you right, you said it, that we need to know who we are, own that, who we are, and not keep treading in the shadow. And that song spoke to everything. That's a powerful song.
Thank you.
I hope somebody takes it. I hope even at the next march, if we produce one here, that needs to be hanging in the backdrop. That needs to be the one that just catapults us out and have us do what we need to do as a people. Come together, love one another. Until we love one another, you know it. Until we love one another, the world won't love us. We
That's
have to
right.
together as a people, as a family.
And Lynn won't say this. Not only has Lynn serviced our people so well, there was something that happened out at the African Festival this year. After Lynn and her staff had worked so hard to serve people in that hot sun on the seamen of Camden Yard, you know, after they had worked so hard, so well, you know, all of a sudden they were affording opportunities to some people to get the little golf carts to take their things back to their cars. And Lynn, being a great supervisor and not asking her staff to do nothing she wouldn't do, expected them to also afford her that opportunity. They did not. Not only did they not, they called the police on Lynn, right?
Whoa.
And right now there's a whole group of people called Friends of Lynn's Bourne's and Friends of the African Festival for Real, you know, who are concerned about this outrageous act on the part of a representative of the African Festival that would dare do that to somebody, you know, who was been serving all day long, 2 days in the sun.
But that's the point that I'm making, and I don't want to make an issue out of that because, for me, that's dead and in the water. That's the point I'm making about us not loving one enough.
Yes.
That's my point. Travis speaks nothing but love.
Yeah.
Travis is a walking love fighting. That's all he does is share love. Give love.
And you're absolutely right. And when we say, and when we say no justice, no peace, my point is this. As in Ferguson, it was so good to see the degree of peace and calm last night. But it's really clear that as people are responding all over this country, including Baltimore, that there will be no peace without justice. Mm-hmm. And justice goes hand in hand with that. And obviously, truly a love supreme is a string that ties all that together. But oftentimes, we're the first ones to forgive and forget. I know we want the indiscretion.
We forget. I'm going to let you guys go. I love each and every one of you.
I love you, Lynn.
And Lynn, this thing that Travis is doing, Travis, say something about this thing he's doing to the next call.
We're doing a couple of things. You know, we're doing the, it's called the Adam Competition. That's going to be on October the 11th at the Doubletree in Pikesville. And it's a competition for models, and Beverly Johnson is offered to send the winners to Paris. And so we have our little prize. We're going to give, which is, I said before, we're going to give prize to a lot of people. You'll be wonderful, wonderful. And then, you know, we have the Lexington Market Show coming up, which is the biggest show that we do in the city. So the world famous. It's going to be December the 13th at the Lexington Market at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we're going to bring in at least 6 designers from across the country to Baltimore and mix them with some of our little shops on Utah Street. Yeah. And we're going to mix the top designer from, like, New York or somewhere like it with another one of our boutiques, maybe on Howard Street.
Well,
you know what I mean? Because we got our little Paris here, too.
Hello.
So we don't
this
have to go
Paris.
All the way to California to do it now. We got some folks who do it right here, and that's what we're going to do.
That's right.
And
so
there's a whole group of people then across the country and the world that are coming together called Friends of Travis Winky. That said, Travis has done this thing for 40-plus years, and they want to make his studio a historical monument, an interactive museum, and raise funds to do that. And so we say we definitely want to be a part of that since we're right here in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Keep
Love you,
babe.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brother Harold, who we got up next?
All right. Next up is Brother Curtis Covington, who's a coach and mentor for youth in Baltimore City.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this quietly for the past 10 years, and he's an ex-ball player. He's also, in full disclosure, my son-in-law, and I'm very, very proud of him. He's doing great work among the youth of our community. And so, Brother Curtis, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks a lot, Earl. And
thanks for your patience, brother.
Yeah.
Thanks for your patience, too, brother. Go ahead, right ahead.
Oh, no doubt, absolutely. I'm a patient guy. You know, you have to be.
Especially when working with the young folk, you know, because you've taken on some stuff that is truly amazing. You know, Baltimore City is cutting back on all the stuff it's doing for the youth in the city in terms of recreation and parks. And you guys have stepped up and made that a something that kids are not having to worry about. So tell us what exactly it is that you're doing with the young folk.
Right now, man, what we're doing now, we're getting in full-blown into our football season. What we like to do is just mentor the kids. We use the athletics as a tool to get them there, but we teach them much more than just the sport. We teach them about conflict resolution, social skills training, etiquette, how to be a young man, how to raise a family, just be responsible and be productive.
And I mean, when you say that, you're doing this all in the course of a couple of hours, what, on a daily basis or weekends or what? How's that going?
Say again, Earl. Repeat that again. Say that again, buddy.
When you're working with the kids, how often do you work with them during the week?
Man, we get them almost. Let me see. We try to still have them around about 16 hours during the week. We are
16 hours.
We have about 2 hours Monday through Friday, which equals adds up to about 10. Then we usually have them for about 6 hours on Saturday.
Fantastic.
With us, man. You know, we just try to keep them entertained.
Yeah. And this is from the youngest. The little mighty mites, I think, is what you call them.
Yeah, the youngest are like all the way up to about 16. You know, we had had the honor of taking the kids up to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We took about a group of maybe around about 200 kids from Baltimore up to the Pro Football Hall of Fame up to Canton, Ohio a couple of years ago. And then we also took kids, transported kids up to Montreal, Canada. And then we played against the Canadians a couple of years ago as well. So we we feel as though it's just very important to get the kids out of town because a lot of them don't even get out of Baltimore City. So each year we plan on getting them out of town and out and showcasing them across the country. You know, we really big on discipline, though.
Fantastic. And this is not just the males. You also, I think there's a component for females also, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, we got the cheerleaders. Man, the cheerleaders put it in just as hard as the boys do. You know, we work with the cheerleaders and the girls. By me having my two daughters, they introduced me to softball, baby, back in 93.
Right.
And from there, I always had a passion for the young ladies as well because what's going on now with these girls out here in these streets now, It's a jungle out here, man. You know, we just feel as though we need to teach the young ladies how to be young ladies as well. Cause, it's just, man, I don't know what's going on with society right now. We just had to do a whole lot of praying. And like the young lady said before, just had to show a whole lot of love, love, love. That's what some of these kids are missing, love.
Right.
And brother, Coach, we have one of the greatest coaches, mentors, people right in the room just walked in. Brother Charlie Duggar, who's been not only coaching kids and taking them to the penitentiary to play, doing the splash party and doing the Honorable Martin Luther God. He's in and out. And so he's going to say something and he's going to leave, not because he doesn't want to be here, but he has a business appointment. But he came all the way out here. So Brother Charlie Duggar, two coaches talking. You and Coach talking, Charlie.
Yeah, I know Charlie Duggar.
You don't know Charlie Duggar. Go ahead, Charlie.
Beautiful.
You and the coach.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity and hope it... everyone who possibly can will join us tomorrow for our 44th annual Marcus Garvey Day celebration. A brother named Kojo and myself started it 44 years ago, and we want to form a parade once again at the Wall of Respect. Sadly, Brother Pontella Mason is now in the land of our ancestors, but that wonderful mural that he and his wife Deborah painted at Cary and Cumberland Streets. We're forming at 10 and marching at 11. We're coming straight down Pennsylvania Avenue all the way to Dolphin, Dolphin to Fremont, Fremont to Edmondson, Edmondson to Gilmore, all the way into the park. We are honored to have an elder, Delmar Davis, one of the seven original African-American firefighters in the city. They had to volunteer initially. They didn't get paid about 7-8 years later. I think they began their journey around 1947 working on behalf of the safety of our people. So he will be our, like, grand marshal, I guess we could say, of the parade. And once we're in the park, then we are there from noon until 7, and we hope people will come and participate and share. We have a lot of entertainment for the people. There's an opportunity for us to do the fourth principle, Kwanzaa Ujamaa, cooperative economics by an African marketplace networking, you know, showing people the sixth principle, Kumba, our creativity. So someone has a talent to share, they're more than welcome. And I just think that, you know, so much of our situation is that we don't focus on our heritage and culture. Now, with the negative thing that we constantly hear the motherland, like the Ebola, I don't know if you mentioned that at all. So they create such a paranoia that, you know, I lived in Haiti for a time. But before I went there, I was told that people were going to put voodoo on me. I said, well, they don't even know me, you know. But I'm just saying a lot of that even with sickness, you know. There's, you know, after all, they brought the measles and the smallpox here and got rid of the Native American, didn't they? So don't act like we're the disease carriers. We have no history of being this kind of people. And so we focus more on our heritage and culture, and I hope people will tomorrow and join us in Harlem Park from noon until 7 for our 44th annual Marcus Garvey Day. We were saying, let's go forth on the 44th.
Let's go forth on the 44th. Coach, do you have a question to ask Brother Charlie or something to say to him?
No, man, I've just been always admired Brother Charlie Duggar, man. I've been always, everywhere he goes, just always treated me like family. So, you know, with Angie and my wife, Kim, and my daughter. So, I mean, he's just like a legend.
And he's a master teacher.
Actually, one of my mentors, pretty much.
Yeah, you already know. How can people reach you, Coach? And what would you want us to do to be of support to you?
Man, just keep pushing out these kids, man. As far as just always our support, man. If you could just mention that, let them know we'll be at Douglas High School. You know, every it'll be Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And if the kids just want to come up and hang out with us, they're not doing anything. Just come up and hang out with us at West. At Douglas High School.
What's the name of the high school?
I can't remember the address. It's right across from McDonald Mall.
What's the name of the high school, brother?
Say again?
What's the name of the high school?
Douglas, Frederick Douglas.
Frederick Douglas High School. Where are we? What? Oh, thank you very much. I thought I didn't hear you. Her over there with his Northwestern self. We're going to go with your music. Charlie, you have the last hour. I know you have to run. Go right ahead.
I just want to say one last thing, please, bro. We really need people to be in our parade tomorrow. We don't have any definite bands. Hopefully the Twilighters, who have been with us for several years, I reached out to them, may come and participate. But sometimes it's only been my green bus and someone, one or two of us carrying a banner and about two other, three other people. Part of the problem is that some of our bands look like Sodom and Gomorrah marching through the streets doing anything and everything. And so we've even had to put some of them out of the, you know, the parade in the past. But if you can join us, carry a message to our people, you have a business you want to advertise, you know, sing as we go along, but be strong. Those of us who are fitness buffs, put on some comfortable shoes and come on and join us. Foreman at 10, Carrie and Cumberland marching at 11. Thank you for the opportunity.
And Charlie, take 1 minute to say something about Queen Mother Moore, who you went up to Harlem every year and brought her down here along with the deputy mayor of Harlem. On many occasions, we had Queen Mother Moore. Say something about her, please.
Well, that was an interesting experience, real quick, sir. I'm a graduate of Howard University, and so I would keep in touch with what they were doing. And one summer, they had Julius Nyerere, the president of Tanzania, there to speak, and it was so crowded you couldn't get in Crampton Auditorium. So there were a number of us outside of Ira Aldridge Theater, and I began to see all these people gravitating around this elder sister. And she was just so wonderful that after hearing her and meeting her, I went faithfully, I guess, for about 8 or 10 years up to Harlem to pick her up and bring her down every Marcus Garvey day. She was one of Marcus Garvey's original followers, and she has been a great inspiration in my life. She would say, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of infamy, of thee I sing," where we hung from trees because some of us refused to bend our knees, but she was outstanding. Mm. One last thing, she said, "The master has mastered the master key. Instead of him having to destroy us, we will destroy ourselves." You know, but she was telling us to wake up with that, like Papa Wabi says, wake up, not think it's doomsday, because, you know, we got to keep on put up our hands and, you know, demonstrating for Michael Brown, but let's also make sure some of us stop sticking up the other ones of us, well, we got to put up our hands like that, too. Come on, let's balance it all out without a power. Thank you, sir.
One God, one aim, one destiny.
Wonderful.
We're going to go to break. The great Charlie Duggar. Marcus Garvey Day tomorrow, y'all. Also in Washington, D.C., Brother Husband mentioned that. We're going to break with Sister Kamara in the background. When we come back, we'll divide the time up equally.
In case we hadn't mentioned it, this is this program is being brought to you by the Holy Ghost Movement.
Well,
and when we say that, what we're saying is that the ancestors and those who have yet to come are sending their love and affection for us and putting us together. And the whole point of this movement is to realize that when we are joined together with all of our eternity, that there's nothing that can prevent us from doing what it is that we need to do. So, I see Brother Curtis left us, but we thank him for what he's doing, and I guess we have one more caller. That's Brother William Lewis on line 4.
All right, Brother Williams, thanks for your patience too, brother.
Greetings and salutations, my friend.
Greetings, brother.
I am truly blessed to be able to speak to Baltimore, two of Baltimore's finest, Mr. Travis Winky, Brother Black Keith.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Thanks so much. Man.
Please, I hope my mother's listening.
Surely, truly believe that the city of Baltimore and the surrounding area is being blessed as well.
Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
I would personally like to discuss the economic situation in Baltimore. I personally have...
What's happening over there?
Mama, you still on live? Excuse me, brother.
Yeah.
What's happening over there?
Okay, go ahead, brother.
I personally challenge the Baltimore population to take hold of the economic power that they possess and bring forth the positive change in our current economic status.
Mm.
And we can do that through love. I firmly believe that one of the assets, one of the greatest assets that the people of Baltimore possess is truly the ability to love one another. Mm. Now, we've talked about love. I've heard love on the program a number of times. And that's a word that that you rarely hear in the mass communications these days when related to people. But I have found through my travels that whenever you run into a person from Baltimore and any other place, you can always experience the love that they have. And it's a love with certainty, and it's a love through power.
Mm.
I would like to see that love power translated into economic power.
Mm.
And we can do that by working together to build some bridges to economic success.
Mm. Brother, I think you said something.
We're going to start that, hopefully, at a function that we have coordinated. And I think that it may be circulating among our friends around the McCullough Projects and so on and so forth. But everybody's invited. We want to get together a group of people that we know love one another. And now I want to just express this. I lived in Baltimore for the early part of my life, probably 20, 25 years. Every person that I ran into, I can truly say that was my friend, is still my friend. And I'm that's some 50 years later.
Amen.
Maybe 40 years, I don't know. But the point is, I've lived in Washington for 25 years. And I have yet to make a friend that I can say I love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rarity in that is, while I spend most of my time in Washington or the surrounding area, the true quality time of my life has been spent in Baltimore. And that was the where I really found and experienced the love, which I still have for every friend I ever had in Baltimore. And I want to see if that can't translate into economics.
And we're going to take it to
and
the
so,
hoop.
Brother, I want you to help me out.
Hey, brother, we got 2 minutes left. Can you say something about this program?
Yes.
Matter of fact, Travis Reed was on the fly.
Well,
what's going on?
This
McCullough Home Reunion.
I want everybody to come out on the 1528 Madison Avenue. We want to come down to the McCullough Homes. It's family and friends. And it's from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the morning. But let me tell you one thing. We're going to party in the McCullough Homes.
Come with it.
Come with it. I mean, I remember the days we would Bugs and Doc Key and Linda Ward. We used to dance ourselves to death down there.
And Cocky,
you know,
and
all over.
I didn't live in the projects. I was up in the house.
I mean, it's young true, folks, they don't know about those days. But we had fun.
But we have to bring it back.
Yeah. You
we
know,
have to bring it back.
We would argue with somebody, but we were friends 10 minutes after that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So the thing is,
and those friends
it's
are still
family.
Friends.
Huh?
All those people that we were friends with,
and still friends. Yeah.
I mean, and that itself needs to be explored. So
amen.
Let's all work
and we have 1 minute, and Tina's going to have the most of that 1 minute, and that's going to be, we say, Elks Home, 1528 Madison Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland. Don't miss it, everybody.
Get the date again.
And the date is August.
November 28th.
November 28th. Tina, you got the last word. Bugs, thank you, baby boy. And everybody
you,
down on Baltimore, she's a star.
Including
my daughter, Iowa. Tina, you got the last word.
Thank you, Dakee. Thank you, Harold. Tavis, it's such a pleasure to meet you. I've heard
you.
So much about you.
We're going to have her down next to
Denise Keene, what's up, baby? And Denise and